Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is 1207A, the A's, always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. The B's, that's right, great guests. Last week, we had a tremendous guest, Noah Whiteman, who spoke about the most delicious poison. And we have a wonderful guest coming up as well, but I'm not going to tell you what that's about. You're going to have to discover that yourself. This is the latest medical news of the week. And the headline story is that researchers propose prescribing exercise as medicine for Parkinson's disease. Well, let me tell you the full story of how that happened in a few minutes. But I'm going to give you a number of other stories. First, prescribing exercise as medicine is, of course, the longevity is the next disruptor and the Roizen rule for younger you, both of those segments for today's You, the Owner's Manual 1207A. Again, we are brought to you by TrueBiotics and Bovine Colostrum, both from LifesFirstNaturals.com, LifesFirstNaturals.com, where you can find the randomized double-blind controlled trials on exactly that, TrueBiotics and Bovine Colostrum. And, of course, Longevity Playbook. Longevity Playbook is where you can sign up for the free newsletter. It's a weekly newsletter. The other story, and really there are only two or three that are really worth telling you about this week, but the other one is that preeclampsia, which is hypertension in pregnancy, is linked to an increased risk for young onset, that's before age 65, dementia. All of high blood pressure is. So what does that mean? It means you gotta treat the high blood pressure. High blood pressure is something that should never go untreated. So that is, if you will, our odd omega story of the week. Why? Getting rid of the salt and having more potassium in your food. That's more fruits and vegetables. Less salted food is key for maintaining normal blood pressure. If you look at, you have normal blood pressure at age 45, what's the chance you'll have it at 85? It's under 15%. In the African-American race, if you have normal blood pressure at age 45, 93% have hypertension at age 85. So you got to keep measuring it and get it under control. Whether with diet and exercise or with medications, you want to keep your blood pressure under 125 on the upper level, upper number, which is when the heart is contracting, and under 80 when the heart is relaxing. That's called diastolic, and that's your lower number. You want to really work hard to get those. And that's part of the six normals plus two. It's a key thing. Let me show you in the VA why it was key, because they did the VA studies and it wasn't with really good blood pressure medicines in the 60s. But when they took people with blood pressures averaging 135 or above and averaging 85 or above and got them to normal compared to a group where they gave a placebo, the group that was normal had 1/6 the risk of dying over the next 5 years as the group that got the control. 36%, starting at age 53, 36% of the men in the VA study, and they were largely men because it was veterans at that time in the 60s, 36% had a disabling event within 5 years compared to 6% of the treated group. Huge numbers, but it does remind you that it is key to get your blood pressure under control. One of the other studies of importance this week, and then we'll get back to the key study, but one of the other studies is they compared MRIs as a screening test for prostate cancer with PSA. And the MRI, because of the false positive and the biopsies it caused, was much less effective from a cost standpoint, from a false positive standpoint, and from the number of biopsies it caused than the MRI. So use the PSA as a screening test. I think you should use it all the way up, well past age 75, where most people say it's okay to do it, because we're going to live a lot longer. And that means that if we're going to live a lot longer, we want to get your prostate and breast and every other cancer treated as soon as it's spotted. And the easy way to spot prostate is with a PSA screening test. And this is especially true for African Americans who develop a more, and we don't know why, but they develop a more virulent form of prostate cancer. Now, the other key story of the week is what I said about Parkinson's disease and exercise. And this tells you a little bit about how peculiar observations make a huge difference in medicine. A guy named Jay Alperts is an Olympic bicyclist, and he was bicycling across Iowa in a fundraiser, just happened to be for Parkinson's disease. And they had him on a tandem bike, that is a bike where the person in the back, he was pedaling in the front, was just strapped in and was on the pedals, but Jay was doing all the work on the front, was doing a lot of the work, but the person in the back, because their legs were strapped in, had to go as many revolutions as he did. And he was doing this fairly fast because he was an Olympic bicyclist. And he was actually, this is part of his training as well as a joy for the process. And what happened? They noticed that when this person who had Parkinson's disease got off the bike, for the next 3 days, she didn't have her tremors. She was essentially asymptomatic for her severe Parkinson's disease. And then after 3 days, she developed it again. This was about a 17-day bike ride across the state of Iowa. So she went on and off and on and off. And then they did the study. Then Jay was alert enough to say, hey, he was a biomedical engineer, and he said, hey, I should go and get other Parkinson's patients and see if this is true for them too. And so he did a small study in 12 people, and about 4 of them had the same reaction. They then did this with rats, and you say, how do you get rats to do forced exercise? Well, you give them a treadmill and it runs really quick, and they did that. And they found that this was in the genetics of Parkinson's disease, which they induced in these animals, in these rats, it regrew dopaminergic neurons into the basal ganglia. They've then done this in 52 people and now 400 people. And again, about a third of people get a tremendous benefit from bicycling at 90 revolutions a minute for 30 minutes, 3 times a week. So it has to be at night. Now, it's very tough. You don't have to do it at a high pressure, so it isn't at a high workload, but it is at a fast speed. So apparently, the rhythm makes more difference than the pressure you put on your muscles. And it turns out it's hard to do 90 revolutions per minute for 30 minutes if you're not a Olympic bicyclist, apparently. And so what they did is they went to Akron and found a company that makes a motorized bicycle and got them to soup up their motor so it would do 90 revolutions per minute and make a bike. I think it's called TheraCycle. I have no relationship to the company, but TheraCycle, which you can strap yourself in and do that and see whether you get that type of benefit as well. And again, in about a third of people, not only do they get the relief for about 3 days or longer, but it actually regrows dopaminergic neurons and can, in some people, reverse the disease. So in fact, prescribing exercise as medicine is what this group in Europe actually decided to do, and that was the start of it. You've heard of boxing because you've got to move fast in hitting a punching bag. That is not one of the big punching bags, but the overall, the above your head, I don't even know what it's called, that you punch and have to do it repeatedly. But it is the speed, apparently, is key. And that's why in Denmark, when they've found this as well, they believe that exercise should be the first prescription for patients with Parkinson's disease. Unfortunately, that's all of the great stories this week, but it's an important story, and to say, make those observations on what works for you and what works for you to keep you healthy. I know, for example, and we studied this with the What to Eat When book, when I eat a small dinner, I feel great. I sleep better, I have more energy, and I feel much better the next day. So I try and eat my main meal at lunch. I hope you'll look at observations on yourself and find out what makes you feel and act better and be younger too. And remember, this is the place to come. You can go to longevityplaybook.com, sign up for their free newsletter, and do also go to lifesfirstnaturals.com, and you can find the double-blind randomized controlled trials that justify to me why I take both TruBiotics and bovine colostrum with regularity. You can too, and get those benefits for your health if you think those studies are valid for you, as I think they are for me and my patients. Thanks again for downloading us. Remember, this is 1207A. There's always a great guest on the B segment. You'll want to listen to last week's Noah Whiteman, 1206B, The Most Delicious Poison, a wonderful, wonderful study. And we have some great guests coming up. The B this week, well, I haven't started interviewing the person, so I can't recommend it or not, but I'll bet it's a great guest, because our producer, Donna Gould, gets us just a set of great guests. Thanks again. We'll be back next week, and we hope you are too.